Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
This is Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. It is Preakness Day, Saturday, Preakness Day, Saturday, May 21st. Few minutes, we'll be joined by Tom Bellhouse from West Point Thoroughbreds as we'll go over their nice win yesterday in the Pimlico Special. Boy, first captain looked really good. Shug and the West Point folks getting it done in the Pimlico Special. And West Point has a couple of horses in today as well. So we'll touch on that with Tom Bellhouse in a few minutes. But first, I thought we'd take a look at yesterday's Black Eyed Susan stretch run anyway. Black Eyed Susan yesterday. I liked Luna Bell, the local, and it was they're off, you lose. Luna Bell, if you watch the head-on coming out of the gate, she just breaks just a tad slowly, and then things close in front of her, and she went to the back of the pack and just was not persevered with. I'm not thrilled that I would more prefer the jockey. At some point, you know, you don't want to rush up because then you're done. But at least maybe grind it out and try to make something happen. But Luna Bell just never got into it after the break. That said, it was the horses I had down in the two and the three spots. I thought Adair Manor was interesting right underneath coming in from Southern California. And Interstate Daydream lately raced for Brad Cox coming out of a third in the Ashland. They will duke it out in the stretch. Interstate Daydream's the number 9. Adair Manor is the number 10. Coming up the rail, the number 11. Nice performance from the Shug horse Radio Days. I mean, gets up for third and doesn't really threaten otherwise. But you can see coming up the rail there, Radio Days may be worth watching going forward off of this effort because, again, it was a nice try for the Shug horse to get up for third. But it was Interstate Daydream pulling away from Adair Manor late at 6-1, $14 and change for the Brad Cox trainee with Florent Giraud on board. John Velasquez was on Adair Manor. Joel Rosario was on board Radio Days. So, again, there are your 1-2-3 finishers from the Black Eyed Susan. Obviously, this time of year, every year, at this time of year, the Oaks plays into the top of the three-year-old filly class, and Secret Oath is the, you know, clearly the leader of that division coming out of the win in the Oaks. I was just looking, you know, Nest and Desert Dawn, second and third there in the Oaks. And so, you know, those Oaks fillies are clearly leading the class at this point. And the Black Eyed Susan with the place on the calendar is for not second stringer, but maybe the horses who are on the verge of moving up. And I think that's exactly what Interstate Daydream did there, kind of moved up and put herself in the conversation among the three-year-old fillies, and now we'll see where she goes, and won't be surprised to see this one show up in one or both of the three-year-old filly races up at Saratoga. Adair Manor, being Southern California-based, we'll see what her game plan is going forward. Radio Days, again, that was a decent little performance from her to get up for third. She's now 6 starts, couple of wins, couple seconds, and a third. And being a Shug McGahee trainee, Radio Days, again, we'll see what her game plan will be going forward exactly, because this was her first time stretching out to two turns. So maybe more test in her future. Or maybe they were happy with that closing performance yesterday. So we'll keep our eyes. But I think all three of those now kind of, if not stepping into the upper echelon of three-year-old fillies. Adair Manor, given what she did out in Southern California, was already, I think, kind of in the conversation. The other two were on the verge, maybe. But, as I say, all three now step into at least the conversation and become players, depending on the spots they pick going forward. But Black Eyed Susan yesterday. And the number, Interstate Daydream, with a 91 buyer yesterday. So solid little buyer for that one. And it was a lifetime best buyer for Interstate Daydream. So nice performance there from that one. All right, We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll make contact with Tom Bellhouse from West Point Thoroughbreds. We'll talk a little bit about their action yesterday and get some preview of their runners today down at Pimlico as well. All of that coming up when this Preakness edition of Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Bridgestone is an outside.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we're joined now by our friend Tom Bellhouse from West Point Thoroughbreds after a nice day yesterday. I know it's early in the morning, and I'm guessing there was a big celebration last night. So, Tom, thanks for jumping in.
It was definitely a celebration, and, to win a race like the Pimlico Special Set, maybe when you're our age, it's even a little more special than some, just knowing the history of the race and knowing that was the race that Seabiscuit and War Admiral ran and Cigar won so convincingly. It was just a thrill, and the ride by Louis Saez, I think, will go down one of the ages in West Point history of just an incredible will to get that horse home.
Take us through, standing with the rest of the West Point people and the partners and whatnot in the horse, and take us through the stretch run here. We're going to take a look at it. Vindictive, the Pletcher horse, is the number one. The other Pletcher, number three, Untreated. They're out there, and as First Captain has done throughout his career, he stages quite an impressive stretch run to get up. Chart margin is ahead at 5-1 odds. Take us through what was going on through the minds of you and the partners as this stretch run was unfolding.
Yeah, a lot of the credit on this, other than the incredible training job of the tactics in the race, have to go to Shug McGahey, because on paper it didn't look like much speed, and on paper you would think we probably would have been a little closer with the lack of speed. And Shug told Louis, "I want you 5 lengths off the pace, and I want you to tip out and make one run." And Louis said, "I'll do whatever you say, boss, but that's not how I see it on paper." And he goes, "I understand how we all see it. I'm telling you that's how I want you to ride the horse." And in the middle of the turn, when Irad came off the rail on the one, and angled out for about a split second there, I thought we were cooked. It didn't look like we were, you know, we were picking up the bid as quick. And Louis just gave him one tap, and all of a sudden, he started to pick up the pace, and he pinched in. He saved enough ground right there coming out of the turn that when he did tip out, he had a clear shot and was just whether he could run him down or not. And, I mean, it was as exciting a stretch run where you're just hoping you get there and knowing that there were two good horses for Todd Fletcher in front of you that you had to run down. And it was a thrill. It was very reminiscent to me of when Coach Rocks, another horse we had that Louis Saez rode for us down at Gulfstream in the Gulfstream Oaks, the way he just finishes on a horse is just so spectacular. And obviously anybody who follows New York racing or Florida racing knows Louis at the top of his game with his agent, Karen McLaughlin, and really ended up riding the horse quite by accident because Jose Ortiz has always ridden him, and Shug was kind of unsure he was going to go to this spot, so Jose picked up another mount, and then when we decided to go, obviously he wasn't available, but thank God Louis Saez was.
Yeah, it was just an incredible run, and reading post-race comments, Louis said, on the turn, I wasn't sure I had a horse, but then I got in the stretch and got going. And as you mentioned, the fractions, 24 and change, 49, 114, and to close into those, just a phenomenal. And that Shug was given those instructions adds to it as well. Talk a little bit about the game plan aiming for this race, particularly coming out of the Carter, which was a disappointment. I guess, again, we're reading some of the comments Shug made, just a head-scratcher of a race in the Carter, the only poor performance so far from first captain. But what was the thought process coming out of the Carter and aiming for the Pimlico Special?
When the Carter ended and the weeks following the Carter, we couldn't find anything physically behind that performance. And, I was at the Wood that and was in person for the Carter, and it really was absolutely shocking that the horse didn't show up at all. I mean, I get that it was a solid grade one field. Speaker's Corner might be one of the best horses in training on the East Coast. And, but we didn't show up at all. So that part was really frustrating. And when Chug, after a few weeks says, I can't find anything wrong with him, I just hate to do it. I just got to draw a line through that race. And, sometimes we all, we say that, but when you have a horse of this quality, we're still a little stunned about that race. But, every person who reached out to me about this race, what do you think? And I said, he's training great. I don't know what to make. I mean, I was at the Carter. I saw that dismal performance. So, but for him to come back and perform the way he did and, I believe he got his career high buyer. I don't know if it was a 95 or 96. 98 buyer. So, I mean, just incredible. I mean, all thanks and all praise goes to Shug and his team. Anthony Hamilton, his assistant, is down here, and he's a Maryland boy, and his stepdad is the track photographer. So it really was old home week in the winner's circle, and we're just so happy to win a race like this for this particular horse, especially. That's his second graded stake, and with his pedigree and his sales history, I mean, we're hoping that someday he can be a stallion that stands and keeps that line, that tenacity going. I mean, he looks a lot like Curlin physically, but I think he really runs more like the AP Indy line, the way if you watch it coming out of the turn where he just drops down and bellies down, Seth, that really reminds you of that AP Indy line.
Yeah, and, just looking at the PPs here, Bobby Flay was the breeder, and also I'm reminded I was there that night and saw you guys after the horse was picked up a couple of 2019 right up the turnpike. It was an August sale up in Saratoga.
Yeah, those two nights will probably be the best two nights in the history of West Point Thoroughbred, picking up first captain and flight line. We also got another nice horse in that sale who's a stakes contender named Arabian Prince, But it was just incredible. And to have first captain really step up his game and run that kind of race, you know, our buddy Andy Serling, who can be our toughest critic, sent me a really nice text after the race and said that was just an incredible performance. And it was really that breakthrough race that we were waiting for. And I'm just so thrilled for the horse and the partners that we got it.
And as you mentioned, lifetime best buyer, it was a 98. You guys, you know, it's interesting because most of the races on the resume are the one turn, and he does have the win in the Grade 3 Dwyer as well at the one turn mile down at Belmont. So stretched him out and got the graded stakes win yesterday, two turns in the Pimlico Special. What's the game plan going forward?
Whatever Mr. McGahee says to me.
Smart man.
I would say there's some really, really, really nice two-turn races coming up in New York that we're all familiar with, and whatever Shug decides, I mean, you know, the resume is really starting to take form on this horse, and there's some huge, huge races coming up in the coming months, whether it be the Suburban, the Whitney, the Jockey Gold Cup. I mean, there's just a lot of opportunities to go two turns against the best horses in the country, and he'll have to step up his game again, but yesterday's performance really gives us a lot of confidence moving forward.
Yeah, and again, congratulations on that nice graded stakes win, and also, as you say, historically, the Pimlico Special, to pin that medal up on your wall, very, very special. So, again, congratulations there. But let's look ahead to this afternoon, get some thoughts on a couple of your runners on today's Preakness Day card. And you'll kick things off in the Maryland Sprint with Jackson Traveler, 6 furlongs in the Grade 3 event. Disco Pharaoh coming in for Ray Handel looks to be a handful in there. But you have a bona fide stakes quality sprinter that has a nice little resume down at Pimlico already for Jackson Traveler. What are your thoughts on that one this afternoon?
Yeah, we were very, very unlucky not to be a graded stakes winner last year in the Chick Bank. It was maybe some tactical challenges in that race, but I believe, I'm not positive, and you might know better than I believe Mr. Phil is scratching and staying in New York for the race tomorrow. So, you know, the Ray Handel horse is owned in part by our friends at Blue Lion, who are great guys, Dave Lyon. And so I've watched every one of his races. And I think for the most part, you know, he's going to be a handful. He's going to have to step up, though, against Jackson, because Jackson is a legit throw it down every single time, show up horse. And, if you know, and we're looking for Jackson to take that next step with Joel Rosario today. And we're very confident that outside post, I think Rosario's going to have it all in front of him, and he'll make it all happen. So just super, super pumped for today. And I think, you know, we're hoping we get him that graded stake.
And while you were talking, I did pull up the scratches, and you're correct. Mr. Phil is out of that fourth at Pimlico. The 11th at Pimlico, the Sir Barton, scratched horse that changed everything in the Kentucky Derby, Ethereal Road, is in here. But you guys have B-Doc, and I have the horse in my mix. And when I handicapped on the handicapping show earlier, I said, if you buy into that buyer and the nice maiden win over at Keeneland, B-Doc may wind up being the horse to beat in here. Give us your thoughts, and being close to the horse and the connections, obviously, is one of the owner's partnership of B-Doc. What do we make of that race over at Keeneland, and what are the thoughts this afternoon in the Sir Barton for B-Doc?
Yeah, I mean, B-Doc is a really cool horse. He's a horse that we was sold at last year's Timonium sale, a year ago right now, and it was purchased by a gentleman named Joe Bessiker. And we were at the sale and really loved the horse, but he went for a lot more money than we thought we could take on at that moment. And we were lucky enough that we were able to buy in a minority share with Joe Bessiker on that. So that was exciting. And, you know, he's a big, huge son of Gormley. It took him a little while to figure it out in California. He went up to Golden Gate for a race and just didn't really figure it out. But the move back to Dirt and back to Kentucky, that race just was an eye-popper and kind of what we'd always dreamed, because, you know, Doug O'Neill had always been very, very high on the horse. We just had never really seem to have been able to put it all together. I mean, the only concern, and distance isn't really a concern to us, the only concern is, was that race, which was so phenomenal, this is a little quick back to come back and go two turns. But, you know, the horse is named for the Philadelphia Eagle great Brian Dawkins. So, Joe is a huge Philadelphia guy, and the chance to be down here in Maryland and run in the on Preakness Day was something that he really wanted. So we're hoping that we take that next step forward, and B-Doc shows up and puts in the kind of performance he did in Kentucky, and he would be very hard to beat if he does that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. If this horse can go back to that maiden breaker, which, again, kind of signified that the horse was one that just maybe a light bulb moment last time, looked really good. Well, I got to get the update on, you've mentioned him already in the conversation, everybody that talks West Point has to bring up Flightline. So give us a little update on Flightline, and are we going to see the showdown and the return of Flightline in the Met Mile?
Well, Seth, you know we can't play West Point buzzword bingo without saying Flightline. So he's doing phenomenal. If I would encourage anybody, all the viewers, if they haven't seen it, go look at his work from last Monday. Flavian Pratt flew out after the races last Sunday night in New York and breathed him on Monday morning. You know, he went 59-3, and if you watched it, you watched the breeze, you probably thought he went 102. I mean, he really just is really maturing, and he settled down, and it's just a very, very exciting time for us. And all systems go for 3 weeks from today, and hopefully, you know, John Sadler said this. This is a John Sadler quote, not me. They asked him about the competition. Are you worried? And he goes, if the flight line I know and love shows up, I'm not worried about anything. So that's how confident John is. He feels this is the best horse he's ever laid his hands on. And I know Speaker's Corner and, you know, Life is Good and other horses that are leaders in the division, and rightly so. I mean, they have done a phenomenal job on their, you know, Speaker's Corner. You can take nothing away from, but Flightline's gonna, if he's right, you know, we'll be a handful. He'll fly in, and he'll probably work right up till the race out in California, have a couple more breezes, and then we'll fly him, and we'll set up the encampment that actually is gonna ship into Shug's barn. So he'll be down at Shug McGahee's barn.
It's not often that as racing fans we kind of sit back and, you know, a month out, a couple of months out, we start anticipating a race. But this is one of those few that we're really looking forward to, and looking forward to the return of Flightline. And you got to love that when the jock says, oh, yeah, I'll fly cross country to work the horse. Got to love that, certainly. Tom, before I let you go, also have to ask, whenever we get you or Terry on, I always like to get a little update on future runners for West Point we may be looking forward to. Ran into you guys personally, obviously, when we were down at Gulfstream for Florida Derby weekend, and that week is on Wednesday is the two-year-old sale. West Point was participating in that. How'd the two-year-old sales go for you guys this year, and can we look for some up-and-comers with the West Point Silks in the next few months?
Yeah, I think we had the best two-year-old sales, and we're still got the one here in Maryland to go, but you know, picking up 20 horses or parts of 20 horses in the last 2 months has just been phenomenal. And the stable, you know, we know it's a numbers game, but the stable is really going to be stacked coming into this summer. And, you know, we have about 17 horses up in Saratoga already. So it's just going to be, what two-year-old and, you know, how long they take to get to the races and such will just be a matter of time. But, you know, initially the first wave, Christoph Clement's got a couple that I think we can really make some headway with. We have a son of Collected called Royal Velvet, who's been very precocious so far. And we also have another, we have a filly, a Peace and Justice filly that we got at OBS March, a PA bred that we're super excited about. I think her name is Don't Look Back at All. So, there's a couple that you'll probably see in the entries early on, and we'll really look forward to have a great second half of 2022.
Looking forward to seeing those on the track. Looking forward to standing by the big screen up at Saratoga and watching the West Point partners root their horses home. That's always fun. But mostly just want to congratulate you again on the victory yesterday by first captain. That was a lot. Oh, and I also have to mention, I texted you Friday. I guess, yeah, was it Thursday? You had the runner at Churchill. And as the horse came into the winner's circle, Travis Stone was listing the partners, West Point, et cetera, and Denny Crum. And I texted you and I said, is that the coach? And you texted back and said, yes. Man, you guys have the in with the NCAA basketball tickets because the aforementioned Coach Rocks, that was you guys, Roddy Valente, and Rick Pitino as well. So you guys are in with the basketball. Although I guess both of them being Louisville basketball coaches, I guess they had to buy into horses.
Exactly. No, it's really been it's been amazing. Some of the people that we've been able to partner with, and it's a kind of a thrill for somebody like myself who's been with West Point 15 years and knowing what we used to do, and you know, trying to put deals together, and now that we're really in a great spot.
Yeah, and it's been fun to watch you guys kind of move up and just getting nicer and nicer horses, and now to have ones like First Captain yesterday, Flightline, we're looking forward to. It's just been a lot of fun. So, again, congratulations, and pass my congratulations on to Terry and the rest of the partners, and good luck this afternoon.
Thanks, guys. Hey, listen, always appreciate you guys, and we'll see you soon, okay?
I appreciate it, Tom. And, again, I'll tell people to go to the website, westpointtb.com. A lot of good information on their website. All right, we'll take a quick break. I'm keeping my eye. I'm looking up. If you see my monitors up there, I'm keeping my eye for the pregame at Pimlico, so we'll get to that. I think it's probably going to start at the bottom of the hour. That was about when they started yesterday, about an hour before post time. Don't forget, Clubhouse opens up today at 9:30, so in about 7 minutes, we'll open up out here. First post at Pimlico is 10:30. But I'll take a quick break here, and I'll come back, and we'll kind of wrap it up for this Preakness morning. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
It's in front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday Preakness morning. I think we have some video. This was shot a couple of days ago. I think Jenny reshot it. Epicenter in the paddock doing a little paddock schooling. And he was there while they were saddling up for another race. And you can see he's cool as a cucumber. Our friend Tim Wilkin is actually down there. He's working with the Maryland Jockey Club people. You can see a horse coming in to the 11 stall. I don't know whether you'll see it. And it may have been before this when they were actually saddling the 11. But in Tim Wilkin's video, the 11 kind of got excited and all worked up and was kind of bucking and jumping a little bit. And Epicenter stayed cool as a cucumber. So you can see he's over there just taking it all in, total professional. So they've now kind of gotten them used to the surroundings, and you should think that will be no problem. I just, to me, it's going to be hard to get past Epicenter. And again, this is from a couple of days ago, Epicenter schooling down in the paddock. Looking at some of the other results from yesterday, again, Interstate Daydream gets it done in the Black Eyed Susan. First Captain, nice win for the West Point folks in the Pimlico Special. The very one was Can the Queen at 6-1, $15 and change for that one. The Miss Preakness was Lady Scarlet over Happy Soul. I had those two. I think I had those two in the top two just in flip-flopped order. But Lady Scarlet was a pretty easy winner. Chart margin's just a little under four lengths in the Miss Preakness. Pizza Bianca got it done in the Hilltop. And Pizza Bianca, 77 buyer. So the buyer did not jump off the page for Pizza Bianca. I thought it was a nice performance, nice looking performance. That said, Pizza Bianca looked to have a real edge on that bunch yesterday. And so coming off the second place finish in the seasonal debut, some folks were a little skeptical yesterday. But for me, I just looked like, even if you're skeptical, Pizza Bianca seemed to have a class edge. And that's the way it worked out. Pizza Bianca kind of went by in the stretch and winds up winning by just about two lengths at 2-5 yesterday. Now, they leave that race with a 77 buyer. They did say, even yesterday, Bobby Flay, owner breeder Bobby Flay, who had said it for weeks prior, they were going to point for Royal Ascot, and off the win yesterday, that is still was in the winner's circle, still the game plan. I wonder if they'll look at the number, because again, that 77 doesn't necessarily jump off the page. I'm just pull up the buyers for the 77. Out of five races so far in the career, that was the second lowest of the five buyers so far. So, you know, the buyer doesn't jump off the page. And I don't know, are they numbers people? Is that going to dictate their decision to go to Royal Ascot? Because it seems like Bobby Flay just wants to get over there with a live horse. And up the career so far, you know, I'm not really going to knock it. But might be up against it against, you know, some of the best in Europe. Royal Ascot is certainly one of the premier meets in the world. But she did look good yesterday. Again, though, it was supposed to look good against that bunch. And finally, in the DuPont, it was Super Quick. I mentioned it earlier, Super Quick wins for trainer Norm Cassie. And it was kind of interesting. He tweeted out his wife, Gabby Gaudette, and their baby, Crew, who Norm Cassie said, Crew's first visit to the winner's circle for the win photo. So that was kind of fun for the family. And I noted earlier, it was Norm Cassie with a winner in the silks of the Mary Lou Whitney Racing Stable. So that was kind of fun to see for those of us up here at Saratoga. But Super Quick also in the DuPont, getting it done with a 107 buyer, and I'm just kind of looking at Super Quick's prior. Boy, that jumped up. Super Quick's prior best buyer was an 89. I'll be interested to see if they juggle that around or not. That's a pretty good jump up. But let's keep our eyes on Super Quick. Nice little four-year-old filly from Norm Cassie and, again, the Mary Lou Whitney stable. All right, I'm looking up. It is Naomi and Ron kicking off the pregame show at Pimlico, so I will wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Don't forget, I'm out in front today with the $1,500 bankroll. Come on down, put your name in the hat, see if you can get on the bankroll team. If you are picked as part of the bankroll team, we did half of it a couple of weeks ago on Derby Day. If you got selected on Derby Day, come down and sign up before 2:00 today to verify you're on the team. We picked the other half of the team today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, and then I'll be playing that $1,500 on behalf of the team. Should be fun this afternoon. Either way, we're going to have fun and have a great second jewel of the Triple Crown Day. You can watch it here all day long on the network, so enjoy that. We have Thoroughbred Racing available tonight on the network as well. So stay tuned, fire, cash some tickets, have some fun. We'll be back in tomorrow morning to recap the action on Racing Across America on a Sunday edition at 10 a.m. I'll see you then. Good luck today.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.